Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And just a reminder, folks, if, in fact, you have any questions in regards to any of the segments that we have, you can always drop us an email at mondaynighttalk@gmail.com. You can always check out the podcast available on the WATD website that takes you right to the podcast site. And this is a podcast that you might want to check out, depending on where you stand on the particular issue. Joe, our guests that we have joining us this evening are two individuals who are part of a coalition in regards to the casino that is being proposed for the city of Brockton. We have Reverend Jill Wiley. She is with Stand Up for Brockton. Reverend, welcome to Monday Night Talk.
Good to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
And with the good Reverend, we have Isabel Lopez, and she is the lead organizer for the Brockton Interfaith Community. Isabel, welcome to the show.
A pleasure to be here.
First and foremost, and I'm glad that both of you ladies are here, because we get a chance to kind of get the other side of what's going on. I know that we have had discussions about this, and we haven't necessarily been tapped into the folks who are not comfortable with this being built in the city of Brockton. I guess I'm going to first and foremost ask about how Stand Up was created, Reverend. Tell us a little bit about Stand Up. When was it created?
Stand Up for Brockton is a coalition that had to start very quickly because this issue was brought before the public in a very rapid way. And so there are a number of people who are adamantly and steadfastly opposed to gambling, and then certainly the arrangements for this particular one in Brockton has spurred a lot of people to step forward. So we hope Stand Up for Brockton can have a longer life beyond this issue, but for now we're a grassroots group organizing to oppose the casino.
Okay. And Isabel, tell us a little bit about the Brockton Interfaith Community and what it stands for, and some of the things. It isn't necessarily just this issue, but it's issues that affect the community and where religion plays a role, right?
Yes, Brockton Interfaith Community was created 20-something years ago, have existed in the community for all those years to bring the voices of the community, the concerns that the families, the youth, that the people that live in Brockton have. And so our interfaith is a people's approach, people's voices, ideas, and concerns about everything that is the concerns that are happening in Brockton that affect the families.
I guess the first question I have to ask right out of the box, and that is, why the opposition to this? What are some of, I'm sure there's a list of things that the coalition feels is not good for the city. What would be some of the top things on that list, if you will, that you're opposed to this this project?
Well, there are hundreds of reasons to be against it, and that's what we have been working fast and furiously to inform people about the ramifications of a local casino. But I think the ones that come to my mind, as a pastor, and certainly clergy and congregations are involved in this, and the residents around the area, is location, location, location. And it's being planned across the street from Brockton High School, within a mile of a middle school, and located within a range of an elementary school. So it's a poor location for that kind of facility. But even more, a casino, by definition, preys on the vulnerable. And we have a lot of statistics that show how problem gamblers are essential to the economic base of a casino. And then finally, just the whole role of government and gambling. For a generation now, state governments and municipal governments have turned to gambling as sort of a quick fix for money problems. Mm. And that's certainly true of this Brockton project.
I have to ask a funny question, though, if you don't mind me asking. And that does not certain religion get into the roles of gambling? I mean, that's what bingo is, right? I mean, there are churches that have bingo. I mean, give me your thoughts on that.
I don't think that's necessarily the argument for this occasion, because this is a really big money government putting gambling in the midst of people. So I think a lot of opponents are pro arguments try to steer it that way, but that's not really applicable here.
Isabel, do you want to weigh in?
Yes, I think that what we're talking about here is addiction. addiction problems, where the revenue comes from. 40 to 60% of the revenue for the casino corporations come from people that have addiction gambling. And so when we're talking about a casino in Brockton, you already know that there is a big, huge casino in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and another one coming in Everett. And so how many people will be traveling to Brockton to gamble? It's going to be local people, our local families, people that are already struggling to survive and with addiction. And so what this casino is going to bring is going to bring more addiction problems. And so those are the concerns that we are hearing from the community. We are hearing that we already have so many families struggling with two and three jobs to survive with a foreclosure crisis going on. And so imagine how much devastating do we need to do to our families, our community, the humans that are living in Brockton.
It was a good lot of passion in that answer, Isabel. And I think people need to hear the passion, whether somebody's for or against it. And definitely an excellent point. And you mentioned the word addiction, and when the Reverend had cited schools, let us not forget that the state's fourth recovery high school is actually on the grounds of where that casino is being proposed. You have, I mean, it's right there with and I would think that they would have to move that if this thing is approved, if it's on May 12th. If it is voted on May 12th, and if the state grants the gaming license, I mean, we still have those two dominoes to fall to see which way it goes, then you have to talk about what happens to that recovery high school. And that deals with, you know, kids who are coming out of addiction who want to continue their education but would be in an environment that is appropriate for that. Reverend, did you want to say something?
I did, and I appreciate you making that point, because Brockton, on that note, with a recovery high school, shows its commitment to helping people with addictions. Brockton, with its fabulous high school, one of the greatest high schools certainly in the country and the largest in Massachusetts, then they would think of even citing a casino complex across the street. Already kids will have to be walking by. I mean, they can't go there because of age, you know. And so to be that close to underage potential gamblers, and youth more and more are turning to gambling. But it's the sad thing is, this is not a coincidence in many respects. There's a fellow named Frank Fahrenkamp, who is a former CEO of the American Gaming Association. He, by the way, used to serve with Paul Kirk as the chair of the Presidential Debate Association that puts on presidential debates. And prior to that, he was a Republican National Committee chair. Anyway, Frank has been quoted as saying that young adults are the future of the business. And so when I saw that quote from Frank Fahrenkamp, I thought, this is no accident that this is being located right in the heart of the place where the best high school probably in America is seated.
And again, we are speaking with Reverend Jill Wiley and Isabel Lopez, and they're part of the coalition that is opposed to the casino in the city of Brockton that's being proposed there. And I believe, Joe, you have a question, but before you do, you had made a point in regards to young gamblers. I think it has been reported that the Rush Street Gaming or facsimile of it actually has been fined or has been found in the past of letting younger folk come in to gamble. I don't know if they've been fined, but I thought that's something that had been reported. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. It was one of the early stories about it. I think as many as 31 times and, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines for that very thing. So this is not an unstudied approach to where they cite it.
No, a lot of the officials in Brockton may come out and say, okay, if we're not going to have a casino, then where is that revenue we would get? Where is that going to come from? Are you, as a coalition, putting together alternative ideas for revenue that the casino could replace the casino, as kind of an argument, maybe not something could be implemented immediately, but as an argument to replace instead of the casino?
Well, you've talked about recreational possibilities.
Yes. As any other state town in the state, I think it's very important that we are very, very bright and intelligent to what we can bring to the families in Brockton. You know, other cities and towns have created, developed recreational parks, you know, and that will bring revenue to the city where families can go and enjoy, you know, and rejoice as families, and will bring revenue because, you know, why we can just think about another, you know, addiction problem and another, you know, issue that will bring not just economic but socio-economic problems.
So are you advocating for like a Walt Disney type of thing? Because I mean, I got a Disney addiction myself, and you know, I got to go 1,500 miles to scratch it. I mean, are you thinking something like that? Maybe like a Six Flags. You think something like that would be able to generate revenue, or am I off course here?
Well, certainly something like that could. It's 45 acres in the middle of the city. It's prime property. And I'd like to say, though, that I would not rely on a minister to do the economic development for a city. I mean, I have great ideas. I want the George Kearney Arts and Crafts and Living History Park. If he donated that land and we created sort of a living history plantation, Plymouth Plantations sort of place with the history of Brockton spelled out and a quilt museum. But the thing is, we do not have a movie theater in the city. We do not have a bookstore in the city. There are a lot of things Brockton doesn't have. Now, honestly, I think they're going to throw as much into this project as they can to justify that. But there has not been, I've lived in Brockton 17 years, and I have not seen the kind of creative thinking about projects in the heart of the city, not on the edge of the city, not one time buy a car kind of project, but something in the heart of the city that is, as Isabel has said, addresses the needs and builds community, doesn't tear it apart.
You're talking, but while those are all great ideas, I think the one thing that I keep hearing is that this city is cash starved to be able to, you know, every year when it comes down to putting together a new fiscal year budget, that they don't have enough money to retain their teachers, to be able to have enough police to battle the crime that we're seeing on the streets right now. You're talking $10 million. Is there a way to be able to take this land and do it in a fruitful way that is not going to feed addiction, but yet will generate that kind of capital for the city to be able to have police and fire and do things that will be constructive and will help the city for years to come?
I think you're turning the argument around to us having to come up with the economic ideas. This is not the only one. And if they draw us into those conversations, there was an economic summit the other day. We were not invited. As far as I know from people who did attend, the casino was not even mentioned. So the fact that this is regarded as a centerpiece of economic development is a real fallacy. And so I would say, let's get into what it will cost once people with addictions, once people with bankruptcies come, the debt that mounts with addiction. Also, we've learned that certainly in a lot of places, embezzlement crime goes sky high because the people that are in the new customer at a casino in a 100-mile radius, people who live 100 miles from a casino do not stay overnight. They go home to Avon and Randolph and Abington. And the point is they could go to Plainville in June to do this anyway.
Do slots, yep.
But the whole point is it's a woman or a low-wage worker or a retiree that they're targeting, and it could be all three of those. And it's all destined, the machines are designed to make losers out of loners.
Sure. Well, and just to make sure I let you know that there was no intent to turn it around, but that would be the argument. I think that's, I'm sure that you've heard over and over and over that you know, while it's a great idea to ask Mr. Kearney to donate 40 plus acres of land to great ideas. I mean, as far as bookstores, I think those are a thing of the past. You know, the brick and mortar bookstores where people have Kindles. It'll be hard pressed to see if we'll ever get another one. I would love to see another movie theater personally in Brockton, and those would be all you actually, without realizing it, kind of said those would be good avenues for the city to be able to generate money. I think Joe wanted to chime in here, and I've been stopping you. Go ahead, Joe.
That's okay. No, I was going to say that I think you brought up a great point, which is I found it odd that the city was looking to do this on the edge of, you know, the city rather than the city. There's been all this talk about driving people to the city center. They're having a college campus being put in the city, in the heart of the city, and kind of the new developments that are happening there. And for any economic development at all to be not be happening in the heart of the city was kind of a kind of an odd proposal, I thought. What are some of the other concerns about maybe not necessarily if the casino was going to come and thinking of it in that light, you know, what are some of the other concerns that you have about, you know, maybe its location or the issues unique to Brockton that affect the casino issue?
Isabel?
So we also are, you know, very concerned about the youth because some of the youth met with some of the city councilors already, and they directly asked the city councilors, how does the casino will affect me personally? And they have no answers. So when the councilors did not have any answers towards that question, they were the youth actually told the councilors, "Do we need to, you know, will the price for education will cause addiction of others? How will that?" So they asked the question because the arguments about the revenue will be coming to the city of Brockton towards the education of the youth and more programs. And the youth were asking those questions. How can we do something more innovative that will not be costing the community an addiction?
I have to ask, what are you hearing from folks who are coming with their concerns? What are some of the concerns that you're hearing from residents as you're talking with, as you've been talking with them since the onset of this? What are the things that they're saying to you? I think you guys, you ladies have probably touched upon some of the, you know, top reasons, but I'm sure that there are other reasons as well that you can kind of channel what the residents have told you.
Yes. So one of the biggest concerns is that the community have is the city is talking about putting more law enforcement, and that means spending more money, and that means who are they going to be targeting in the community, and also you know, there's according to the study that was done in casinos in 2014, about the increase in the crime in the casino area in Connecticut, it increased 40% more. And so we are setting up ourselves to see this coming to Brockton. And so how that is going to affect, noting that the local communities are going to be the one that are going to be gambling. And so they're going to be probably the ones that are going to be affected by the arrest made and so forth. So this is one of the concerns. The other one is the addiction, of course. And the third one is that when you turn to problematic gamblers, how that is going to leave separation of the family. So this is going to be increasing more the you know, the families turning apart because of this problem.
Mm-hmm. Reverend?
Well, I gave you the three first reasons: location, vulnerable people, government, and gambling. Well, the next three would be traffic.
That's a given.
Right, and there are already a lot of issues. Property values, because the property values within range of a casino, I mean, if you're trying to sell a city to a young professional company, person or a company, and say, we used to be the city of champions, now we're a casino town, USA, that they may rethink where they would locate. They might come to another vicinity. And so I think those issues. And then as we have built up this campaign, more and more people coming to us are healthcare professionals, social workers, teachers recognizing the threat it is to young people and students, and people just really concerned about having to live their entire life shopping, banking, worshiping, just walking or going to visit somebody in the shadow of a casino.
See, the thing that we haven't yet touched upon in this conversation, and that is what it also does to small businesses. It also, from what I have heard from conversations of other people, is it affects other businesses, whether it's entertainment businesses, whether it's folks who are trying to, you know, you got other hotels that are in the area, if they got small hotels. Other businesses, I think, will be affected by this. Other restaurants, small mom-and-pop restaurants. So I think of them as well. You touched upon traffic revenue. I remember back, I want to say 7, 8, 9 years ago, might have been a little bit longer, but when there was a concert that was at that very location, it's called Warped Tour, and they had 20 to 30,000 youth descend upon the fairgrounds to see, there were like 30 or 40 bands, and it was a nightmare for 24 hours as these kids showed up in the morning, and it took forever to clear up that area. And I know that they're supposedly, the developers are paying for traffic studies to find out what to do. I don't know if the state is going to somehow be involved, or if the developer is strictly going to have to pay for mitigation of any traffic expenses. But that's another thing that I've heard as far as concerns about this particular project. Is there anything that we haven't touched upon yet, but you feel is very important that we shine a light on and we talk about for our audience?
Yes, I think it's something very important is to know that the casino is not going to help our local economy. It will hurt it because players and visitors are going to shop at a local, you know, they're not going to shop at local business or stores. They're going to stay inside the casino to the new restaurants and shops. This will cause local restaurants and business to have a few customers and even cause them to close.
Reverend?
The watchwords for the Stand Up for Brockton campaign are think, pray, vote. So we have been carrying on prayer throughout this time frame. We started at 35 days. And it's an opportunity for people to reflect on just the moral issues that relate to this. And I think starting with thinking, we're also devoting so much time, as you can hear from what Isabel has shared, that there are a lot of facts that need to get out. This has come at us very quickly. Even the impact studies are contingent upon the vote, not beforehand. And so we don't even know the impact until after the fact. So we're hoping that will not happen and that voters will defeat it on May 12th.
What are what has the community kind of told you about some of either their concerns, if they're different from the ones you've expressed, or kind of what their feelings are about this whole thing? You know, the actual people that are talking to you on a daily basis.
I would say the first thing is a lack of public trust in city leaders making decisions for the city based on hugely changing the character, the complex complexion of the city into a casino town, a casino destination. And to not have anything but a vote. We didn't have discussions. There was just no opportunity to weigh in. And so I think the public trust in the decision of the leaders. And I think overall, for older people, it's what will happen to my grandchildren living like this for the next generation. And I think for property owners, they're going to say, what's going to happen when I try to sell my house and somebody doesn't want to move to a casino town?
Mm. Isabel, did you want to weigh in on that?
Yes. So I think that, we're hearing as well also that the families are expressing that how much burden they're going to have to carry, you know, along with everything that they already are going through. They're also calling for compassion, to have compassion for those that have lost their loved ones through addiction and to feel the pain that they're going through. Also, the family, having in mind the family separation of what does this mean for many families in Brockton to feel the separation, the pain from, you know, the addiction and the other socioeconomic problems that this will bring to, you know, to their lives.
We have been speaking with Reverend Jill Wiley, Isabel Lopez, lead organizer for the Brockton Interfaith Community. And I will tell you that it's been a great conversation that we have had for nearly a half an hour. And I guess we got a big vote coming up in a little more than two weeks here. And what are you doing for the next 2 weeks to campaign and get the word out about this? Isabel's like, she's like, I got something to say. Go ahead, Isabel.
I will say that it's up to the community as they have come together, as they're coming together to stand up for this issue, my role as an organizer is to listen to their stories, to their pain, to their experience of what do they think. We are calling on everyone in the community to stand up for this issue, to come to the community informational sessions that we're going to be hosting, starting with the first one this Tuesday, which our Reverend Wiley is going to talk more. Also, we are going to be doing research, survey in the community about how do people feel about it. But also, we have heard already from all the congregations that are part of the Brockton Interfaith community, including all the Catholics, some of the Haitian churches, the big churches that have big long time in Brockton, that they are standing, you know, against this issue. So it's so important that the rest of the community knows. For those that do not have any, you know, congregation, they're not participant of any congregations, to stand up and to, you know, to be part of this and to come and learn more if they need more information about the impact and the effects of what this casino is going to bring to them and to their families.
Reverend?
Well, we're into the 15-day countdown about now, and we've been gratified by the response, by the work, hard work, and the involvement of churches and congregations. Clergy have been really sort of one voice on this. There are 80 churches and clergy in Brockton, and so it's we can counter what is a highly moneyed, highly supported effort on the part of those who want to build the casino to come in and organize in their name. But we are gratified that we've been able to match them point for point.
If folks still want to get involved with your grassroots movement, is there a way to find out more information, website, social media, anything that you want to share with my listeners right now?
The Facebook page for Stand Up for Brockton, and then a website called NoCasinoBrockton.org. Then there's a national StopPredatoryGambling.org, and that's been very helpful to us. And then, obviously, BrocktonInterfaithCommunity.org relays information, and we'll be eager to hear from people.
Reverend Jill Wiley and Isabel Lopez, I want to thank both of you for being here. And we'll definitely look forward to what happens on May 12th. Folks, if you are a Brockton resident, that's May 12th is your day to get out and make a choice one way or the other, however you feel. But as always, we try here at 95.9 WATD and Monday Night Talk to try to bring you both sides. You both did a fantastic job. Thank you for coming here to Marshfield.
And, thanks, Kevin.
And being a part of the program. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, I promise, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.